Shark Baggerly. Shark Baggerly.
Shark Baggerly. Hello and welcome to another episode of Shack Bagley, all things loose and disorderly with me, Katie Johnson, and my good friend Howard Middleton from the Great British Bake Off. We're on episode 74, so other things with the same number. Time Sir Clive Lloyd captained the West Indies at cricket. Inches length of a standard double bed and minutes of sound a CD is required to be able to hold. So hope you've had a good week, wherever you are in the world. I warn you, Howard's been shopping again. He's had to replace one of his cereal bowls after it was chipped, but to qualify for free click and collect, he had to buy something else to go with it. And as always, it's never plain sailing.
What else do we need at the moment that I can get to go with this cereal bowl? I know, I'll get a new draining rack. Measured it up and ordered it in grey to go with the cereal bowl. And then I went into the kitchen and I thought, I don't know why I've ordered grey. Why have I ordered grey? It would look a lot better with white, right? So I then quickly went on and ordered it again in white. Yes. So then the other day I went down to collect them and they're both in these massive boxes. He says, do you need a trolley? I said, well, I haven't even got a car. Oh, no, he said. So he said, well, the box is there for protection. I said, I know, but I just can't carry this home. Yeah.
Just for a draining rack. It's not an industrial draining rack, is it?
No, this is it. And all wrapped up in bubble wrap as if they're going to get, oh, you know, really, really fragile. It's like they're not that fragile, are they, a draining rack? So anyway, he agreed to take them out of the boxes, but he wouldn't take my cereal bowl, which was in a separate box. Oh, no, that if that's ceramic, then it does need protection. So then I'm there, coming up the hill, with two draining racks and a box with a cereal bowl in it.
But why didn't you leave, return the grey draining rack?
That's true. Why didn't I? Why didn't I just say, I don't want the grey one now. I don't know why I didn't think of that. Why did I bring it? So anyway, I then tried the white one on our training board and it wobbles. It doesn't sit properly on the kind of ridges. They've both got to go back now. So I've now got to go down the hill again with two blessed training racks. Oh,
it's nothing simple, anyway, is it? Nothing. It's simple.
When Peter and I had our civil partnership, we had like a kind of wedding list type thing. Mm. And people bought us various things. And one of the things were these rather nice cereal bowls. Over the years, as they've got broken and what have you, we replaced them. Mm-hmm. Same brand, everything. And then the second lot of cereal bowls that we got, two of them, slightly taller. Sort of deeper than the original. I thought, oh, they must have changed the sizing on these cereal bowls then. Mm-hmm. The one that I've picked up the other day, it's in between. It's literally like the three bears. We've got original cereal bowl, medium cereal bowl, large cereal bowl. It's bizarre. I'm going to write to them. I'm going to say, why have you changed the size of the cereal bowls over the years?
Just they remind us how long ago your civil partnership was, Howard.
Well, it was in 2007, yes.
It's a long but time then, ago.
But as I say, this particular range of tableware, they've continued to produce, but they obviously just keep changing the size of the cereal bowls.
So other than that, have you had a good week?
Yeah.
Good. Jolly good. I went to see Jodie Comer. You know Jodie Comer from Killing Eve?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
She's in, is it Prima Facie or Prima Facie? I don't know. But it was right. At the West End and I couldn't get tickets for love nor money. Anyway, what they did, they then obviously saw how so many people wanted to see her in this one-woman show, that they broadcast it to theatres and cinemas across the country.
Oh, wow.
Oh, she is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And then it's just been announced that she's heading to New York Broadway with this show in the spring next year.
Oh. Mm. So, but you wouldn't want to go and see it again, would you?
Well, no, I didn't see it live, though, did I, really? Because it wasn't broadcast live. Well.
I can see where this... Yeah, I'm extrapping up with cereal bowls and dish racks, but you're off after another trip to New York, aren't
no,
you?
No, we won't be able to do it. But I was going to say, if anyone's in the New York vicinity, it's hard-hitting. It's a hard-hitting. It really is, but it's... phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
And is it just one woman then? Wow,
incredible woman. Mm. Yeah, because Killing Eve was huge, wasn't she? Because it was Sandra Oh that she appeared with. Well, I went to see Elvis as well.
Oh, the what's its name film?
the what's its name film? Yeah, the Elvis Elvis film.
Yeah, yeah. But what was it by? Who's the director? Baz Luhrmann.
That's him.
That's who I'm thinking of. Baz Luhrmann, yes.
What did he do before?
So Moulin Rouge, he did Romeo and Juliet, the one with Leonardo DiCaprio in it. It is Strictly Ballroom, I think, yeah.
It was very good. It was very good, but very sad. Yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of Elvis, but my parents weren't either, so I didn't really get into him. And then I watched a documentary the other week about the relationship between him and his manager, who was played by Tom Hanks in the film. Yeah, and it was that made me think, I've got to go and see this. And I was so sad.
Oh, wow.
Do you like Elvis?
A bit like you. Mm. Do you know, I don't know why I'm whispering. Yeah, no.
It's all right, he's in a chip shop at the moment.
I mean, you have to appreciate, obviously, his kind of importance, his contribution to music, but it was never one of my favourites at all.
I think, though, if that chap hadn't appeared, I think he would have done a lot more and travelled the world, because that chap never let him go out the country, just stayed in America. The only time he left was when he went to do service in Germany.
Yeah, yeah.
So, no, very sad, very sad. Now, I've got a couple of things... Let me tell you about this one. What was my maiden name?
You have told me, haven't you? Oh, no. Why do I not remember this?
This is good, isn't it? You've heard of Mr. and Mrs. What? We should be able to do this. We're friends.
But I'm at a disadvantage because I can't say to you what was my maiden name, can I? you don't need to remember it.
Do you know, though, having said that, I don't know Peter's surname.
Don't you?
I'm just thinking about that. I don't.
Don't you?
No.
It's McLaughlin, but he always pronounced it McLaughlin, like to make it different, sort of. Well, not different, just so people get the spelling of it. But my sister always sends him cards with it spelt wrongly. She always puts an extra G in there or something.
No, why not?
I don't like telling her.
No. Yeah. But why is it then that you didn't take his name or did a double barrel?
Oh, gosh.
Middleton McLaughlin.
Exactly. If you've got a short name like Middleton Stone or something like that.
Oh, that's
I think
nice.
That's, yes. Yeah.
Did you go out with anybody called Stone?
No.
Were you looking for somebody called Stone? Because that's really nice double barrel, that one. You do know my maiden name because you did once tell me about the actress.
About the actress?
Mm-hmm.
Did I? Katie... Katie S for sugar.
It's very common.
Smith?
Yes.
Is it? Why did I mention about Katie Smith?
Because there was a Katie Smith actress, wasn't there, in a film. Oh, very popular film.
And I do remember talking about the actress Katie Johnson, who was in... The Lady Killers.
That's it.
It's not me that's forgetting.
Oh dear. Right. Well, my previous name was Smith. Well, look what I found.
No. She's formidable, isn't she?
What's it say?
Katie Smith's favourite recipe.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, there was a lady in the early 1900s called Katie Smith. or Kate Smith. And she was everywhere. Hence the cookbook with her name and favourite recipes for butter cakes, sponge cakes, cookies and breads. She was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1982 and inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame in 1999. She never married, and after a full and rewarding life, she died in 1986 at the age of 79. She first sang Irving Berlin's God Bless America during her 1938 radio show and continued to sing it for decades. She had a Kate Smith television programme from 1950 to 1954.
But she did other things other than cooking and baking, then. She, presumably, if she was singing and...
Yeah, I suppose so.
Because she does look a bit formidable. Can you see? This is recipes for today.
For today. What's that woman's hair? Is it a hair? A mop of red hair?
No, I think... She has got one of those kind of 1940s, you know, where your hair is sort of taken up and into a kind of bun at the back. Mm. But no, that's like, I think that's steam coming off her bowl of soup. That is. Oh dear, but this is an American book, which I saw on eBay and I just thought, oh, I love that. I just love the start. I don't know if you can see where she's looking with a cat in the larder.
Oh, yes. Sort of an illustrated cartoony.
Yeah, it looks lovely. And it's such a bargain because it's only £20. and then the same again to get it from America.
Oh, no.
So it's like...
Is it worth it? Is it a good book?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's worth it. If anybody has got a copy of, what's it called again? Recipes for Today... Published in 1943 by the General Food. Oh, it's only got 40 pages, isn't it? It's going to be like my Fanny Craddock thing all over again.
Pound a page.
It? Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not doing that. But yeah, if anybody's got one cheaper and would like to offer it to us, that would...
Wesleyan Chapel Longwood Everyday Recipes, 1906. The only reason I've picked this one is there's no recipes in it that caught my imagination, but it's a very beginning. And this is by Mrs. Morton of York, who says, three recipes for managing a husband. And I thought, oh, where's this going to go? So, number one, feed him well. Mm-hmm. Number two, always have a smile ready to meet him when he comes home. Okay. I'm thinking, well, it's got to be number three then, isn't it? Whatever's happening. And it says, begin as you mean to go on. And that's it. So
that's a bit deep, isn't it?
It is.
Last one.
Yeah. Begin as you mean to go on. I always think there should be some training put in.
I think that's true, actually. I mean, I suppose nowadays people do get a bit of training because quite often people will live together before they marry. Mm. But, yeah. Yeah, you could do with a bit of advice. That's a nice mug. I've not seen that before. How lovely. Is it new?
No.
Country Girl. Oh, that's lovely.
It's one of those Moreland...
Oh, don't be careful.
No. It's one of those Moreland pottery ones. Yeah, friend bought
Is
me
it.
Is it? Friend bought me it.
You see, I suppose with something like that, you don't mind if they vary in size because they're sort of handmade, aren't they? Mm. But when you buy cereal bowls that are... machine made, you expect some consistency in the sizing.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go, let it go.
I know.
So apart from that really expensive one, what have you got to have a nosy for us today?
I was having a look at Family Fair cookbook. So this was the Scottish cookbook. It made me laugh as well. There's a recipe for Vindaloo. Yes. So this is...
Vindaloo?
So it's a recipe for vindaloo. You can use beef, pork, duck or mutton. It's got ginger, about a gill of vinegar. That sounds like an awful lot. Dessert spoon of curry powder. 2 cloves of garlic, chopped fine. And it's from a lady in Motherwell called Mrs. Smelly. So,
hang on. Is it the same Mrs. Smelly?
Do you know Mrs. Smelly?
Yes, I do know Mrs. Smelly because you've forgotten something, haven't you, again?
You did find Mrs. Smelly before,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes, but it was in that book.
Yes, I remember now.
And you liked
it. It is in this book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you liked
and
that
book. And
that's
why I bought it. Well, oh, dear. I'm forgetting stuff, aren't I? I am forgetting stuff. Have we already talked about the recipe for spinach soup, We talked about the mock mushroom soup, which was basically a stock cube, wasn't it?
Yeah. But I don't think, just going back to Mrs. Smellie, I didn't mention the vindaloo with Mrs. Smellie. Mrs. Smellie contributed
a bit. She's
obviously
got... Yeah, she's got more than one recipe in here. No, spinach soup. What would you...
Oh dear.
What would you put in spinach soup?
Well, hopefully spinach.
Yeah, you could put spinach in there. And where would you get your spinach from?
From the ground.
No, you could use, I would have thought, you could probably use fresh spinach or frozen spinach.
Yes.
Or alternatively, you could open a tin of Heinz baby food. So...
What? With spinach in it?
With spinach soup. One tin of strained spinach, brackets, Heinz baby food.
No.
Yes. White sauce and grated nutmeg. That's from Mrs. Gray of Motherwell as well. So.
How funny. That book's wonderful because it tickled me and you loved it, so you bought it. And then it sounds like it's going to keep going. I'm just seeing how the history of vindaloo. It's quite hot, isn't it, vindaloo?
Do you know, I forget what the heat of certain curries is.
Right. Oh. It's one of the most popular Indian dishes, originated in the Goa region of India. Heavily spiced, can be vegetarian, as you say, or contain things, as you mentioned, meats and whatever. Fiery hot and spicy due to the chilies.
Well, I don't think Mrs. Smellie's vindaloo is particularly spicy, by the sounds of it. All she's done is she's put... It's got a lot of vinegar, as I say. It's got a dessert spoon of curry powder, so that could be anything.
But
you see, I suppose in those days, you just bought curry powder, didn't you, rather than thinking of...
But any Indian dish was probably called vindaloo in those days.
Yes, exactly.
It's a Goan adaptation of the Portuguese dish, carne de vino e halos.
Oh.
Oh. It arrived in India with the Portuguese sailors from Brazil in the 16th century.
Wow.
It's as old as our cottage.
Is it? Mm. But I don't think you're not considering calling your cottage vindaloo, are you? No.
It's not the 16th century, it's the 15th century, they're saying now. To preserve meat for long durations, the Portuguese developed a unique style of marinating, where the meat was immersed in stock composed of vinegar, salt, garlic and wine to preserve and enhance its flavour. And then it says the vinegar preserved the marinated meat so explorers could live on this for months on end, sailing across the oceans, letting the meat cook in the spices and the vinegar. And so then in India, the dish was tweaked to meet local conditions because Indians did not make vinegar.
So they didn't make vinegar. So how come, again, why has Mrs. Smellie got it in her vindaloo? It's just not an authentic vindaloo, is it? I don't like telling her. Well, she probably can't. She's probably not listening, so... Don't worry about it. Back to my Scottish cookery book. I thought that was really nice. This little advert here. Scotchock. There are many exciting ways of using Scotchock, which is specially designed for easy use and tip-top results. I do love the kind of language that they use. Tip-top results. Note for WRI organisers. Is that something to do with, like, the WI or something?
WRI?
What's a WRI?
I don't know.
Could it be Women's Royal... Not Women's Royal Institute. Yeah. Anyway, apparently the makers of Scotchock, R&W Scott, will be delighted to donate a prize for a baking competition using Scotchock. Please write to Mr. Kenneth Scott, R&W Scott Limited, Carluke in Lanarkshire for details. Recipe booklets available on request. So they're pouring this stuff on top of an eclair. But I thought I don't know what Scotchock is. Apparently one of these what's called compound chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how you can get eating chocolate and you can get kind of baking and cooking chocolate.
Yes.
You can also get something called compound chocolate, which is not really chocolate.
No.
There was a law apparently brought in. It's basically cocoa, vegetable fat, some sweetener in there. And you can call things that are made with compound chocolate, you can call them chocolate flavoured, you can call them chocolate-like or chocolatey. But you can't actually say this is chocolate.
So is that still in existence, that Scotchock?
It's apparently it's not called Scotchock anymore. Although, ironically, Dr. Oetker does something called Scott Block, which...
right.
So I had to look for Scotchock to find out any other references to it. I came across a lovely old recipe booklet from Perth Grammar School, which includes a reference to Scotchock in there. But it also includes, I thought you'd like this one, it also includes another recipe for Herbie Haddock.
Oh, and I thought, Herbie Haddock. Oh, yeah, I like Herbie Haddock. Are they spelling H-E-R-B-I-E or H-E-R-B-Y?
B-I-E, oh, yes.
Herbie Haddock.
So,
if you had a fish, that's your pet fish's name, Herbie Haddock. I like that. I came across an everyday cookery book compiled and edited by Mary Jewry with 1,900 receipts and hints on marketing, ordering, dinner carving, napkin folding.
Have you ever folded a napkin? You've never done these like swans or anything
no.
like that?
Oh,
no. No.
Have you?
No, I don't think so. But I suppose it's one of those things that if you were really bored, it might be quite interesting to do with like origami or something like that.
Glyn was very good with origami.
Glyn?
Yeah,
he's very handy with lots of things. Wasn't he good with Lego and that?
Oh,
as
yeah.
Well?
He was the world. Yeah. He was, no, hang on. UK champion Lego, wasn't he? That was it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, this book, I think it must be very old. I couldn't quite get the age of it. But there's a cow dangling. You know they do, don't they? What would you call it?
A cow dangling.
It's not a naked cow dangling, but you know what I mean. What would you call it?
A cow danglers.
It's a carcass, isn't it?
It's a piece. Yes, it's a piece of. If it's cow, it'd be beef, won't
That's it?
It
yeah.
So yeah.
So
yeah.
And then they have, don't they, in all these cookery books now, they'll label where things are. So rump, shoulder, brisket.
Yeah.
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 Well,
yeah.
This goes back years and years and years and years. So there are things on here I have never heard of. Number 5 on here, which is right at the top. And it is round the buttocks. But have you ever heard it called mouse buttock?
Mouse buttock?
Mouse.
Oh, mouse. Not like put your mouth.
No.
Mouse buttocks. No.
Mouse buttock. And then it says number 6. Now, this one, I'm trying to think. So it's underneath, right up to where an udder would be, or if it was a gentleman, near his.
Yeah,
and this is named Veiny Piece.
It's called what? Baby Peter. No. What?
You are worrying me. Is your hearing going, or is it just our mind?
I think my hearing is a bit problematic at the moment, I have to say. Oh. When I'm talking to my mum sometimes, I think, what on earth have you said there?
But that's because it's your mum.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
This is called Veiny Piece.
Oh, yeah. Veiny Pete.
Piece. Piece.
You keep doing the loveliest face. And I still can't tell what you're saying.
Peace.
Peace. Ah. Veiny. Oh no, that doesn't sound very nice.
A veiny piece and a mouse buttock. And there's a recipe in here that I have never heard of. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Dominoes. Yep. Time half an hour. And it says 4 eggs, 1/2 pound of loaf sugar, 7 ounces of flour, essence of lemon or almonds, coloured icing. And you beat the yolks of 4 eggs for 10 minutes. That's very specific, isn't it? For 10 minutes. What would happen if you did it for 8.5?
Fail. Your dominoes would fall over.
With 1/2 pound of powdered loaf sugar, 7 ounces of flour, whisk the whites of the eggs to a high froth, flavour them with essence of lemon, add them to the yolks, stir all gently together, and put the mixture into a shallow square tin lined with buttered paper. Bake it in a quick oven for 1/2 hour. When done, take it from the tin, cut it with a sharp knife into oblong pieces the shape of a domino. Cover them with icing.
Like,
smooth it over and drop small spots on. So, yes. So, dominoes. Nice. Is it like a biscuit then? Is it like a biscuit or something?
Yeah, I like a little biscuit or cakey type thing, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
So, a couple of things that caught my eye. Now then, hello to Indianapolis, Indiana. This is from Nick. Nick's been in touch, H. He says, I just wanted to say I am loving the podcast so very much. Your stories and laughs bring so much joy to the end of each week. Thank you for brightness amidst so much dark these days. All the best to you both. That lovely.
It is lovely, but what a huge responsibility to lighten up the darkness that's around. It makes me feel, Glenda's sort of stage lighting, doesn't it? But I wouldn't like that responsibility either.
I thought you were going to say it's a responsibility to light the whole of Indiana in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah.
And Lorraine says, by the end of your podcast, pronouncing marshmallow was like a tongue twister. Thanks again for the laughs.
So talking of marshmallow, we've had a couple of lovely messages. One from Stephanie, who says, it has a pretty flower, looks a bit like sweet pea. Flower, not the plant. If Katie actually makes some old-fashioned marshmallow candy from it, I want to hear all about it next year. So, Katie, is that something you're planning to do?
I'm going to grow it. I'm definitely going to grow a marshmallow, I think. Do you see how I said it then? Straight away.
Yeah, I know. You're doing it so, so carefully, so precisely. Very impressive. Lisa says, looks pretty. I may have to grow some if it can thrive in the Pacific Northwest. Good luck with that. Is that Mr. Bentley's world? Oh, yeah. Let me preface this by saying how much I loved this week's episode. But I too have been mispronouncing marshmallow all of my life. Then again, being a New Yorker, we always seem to have our own unique pronunciations for things. Wendy said, it was so funny and very educational. Who would have thought it was mallow? I can't believe we're educational. Can you? We had this last week. So surprising.
Kathy says, I heard my name last week. My undignified pool fleeing whilst bosom unbound is semi-world famous. It certainly is. And Jerry's been in touch. She says, I always wondered what on earth marshmallows had to do with the plant, and now I know. If you have an extra listener in Amsterdam for number 74, that'll be me, taking time off from battling the wild beasts in sparsely populated Alaska to take two of my sons to their Taekwondo Federation World Championships.
Ooh. Oh, lovely. Gosh. Have you ever been to Amsterdam?
Yes. You have as well, haven't you?
Oh, yes. I love Amsterdam. Yeah.
That was that little mouse. Where on the stair? Right there. A little mouse.
A little mouse with clogs on.
Well, I declare.
Going pippity-beep on the stairs.
Now, what the devil was that to do with Amsterdam? I'm trying to think now.
A mouse lived in a windmill in old Amsterdam.
I love that. I tell you, did you go to the blind restaurant in Amsterdam when you were there?
Is that the one where it's completely in the dark? Did you?
Yes. It was amazing. Amazing. It was. Yeah, it was.
Oh, it would make me panic, I think.
You've got to. Yes, it's a very strange thing because it is pitch black. There's nothing, because all the staff, be it in the kitchen or the restaurant, they are all either blind or partially sighted. So you are in their world, if you like.
Yes.
But it is pitch black. So all you've got to do is make sure you say you either want a vegetarian, a fish menu, or, yes, that's it, isn't it? Vegetarian or fish or meat. And then you don't know what you're eating, and then you will just be served. But it is an experience. You just, when you sit down the first time, and you can hear people around you, so you've got your friends, if you've got them. If you've got your friends, you know what I mean? If you've gone with people, then you'll hear them. And then you kind of feel where they are. And, yes, you think, oh, gosh. But you have to just calm. Just breathe.
Yeah. And then once how do you go to the loo?
Well, I didn't. I didn't. But I think people did go, and they were helped to it.
Yes,
because you always have somebody there. You have a server, and they will always speak to you and tell you what the dish is, and they'll tell you when it comes to it where your knife and forks are and where the plate is. But oh, what an experience. I wish I remember the name of it. It's because when I was there, I also went to a deaf disco, which was Yeah, that was brilliant.
Gosh, you went to some interesting place. We just went to Coffee House, wasn't there?
Blind Restaurant Amsterdam. Oh, it was phenomenal. I can't remember what it was called, but Sea Taste, maybe? It opens at 4:30 today, Howard.
That's nice.
Dining in the Dark.
Did you have a glass of wine as well?
I didn't want any red, just in case. I can't remember if they did serve red wine, but we said on our table we wouldn't have red wine because even when it is lit, I will still manage to spill things down my front. So when I can see. So if I can't see, chances are I would have, so I said no.
Got it all down. Yeah. Oh, no.
It is fabulous, Howard, if ever you get the chance.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then at the end, they tell you what you ate. And I wish they hadn't bothered, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. I think I went for I said I wasn't a vegetarian. I didn't want the fish one. I don't know why I didn't want the fish one. It was several years ago, so I think must obviously have the meat one. And I know there was some kind of kangaroo going on and something else. But it makes you aware of your senses. It really heightens your smell and your hearing and obviously your taste. But wow. Yeah, amazing place. Yeah. Oh, speaking of countries, hello to South Africa, who are tuning in.
Oh, that's nice. Mm, lovely.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a car and the speakerphone's on and the phone's gone and it's not your car? And so you're chatting away, aren't you? Have you ever done that?
You're chatting away in the speakerphone?
Yes. Yeah, so you've got hands-free and so the sound comes through your radio, where the radio is,
if you're ringing somebody.
Well, I was in the car with a friend and we were off to see Prima Facie or Facey with Jodie Comer, went with Claire.
Yeah.
And we were going along and the phone rang and it was a mum. And a mum was chatting. Oh, hello, mum. And Claire said, oh, you're on speakerphone. Oh, hi, Katie. Da, da, da. So they were chatting about something or other. Anyway, started talking about where to take her nephews, little boys, only I think about 5 or 6, and where they would go into Ludlow for something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I thought nothing of it. And then all of a sudden, you've got this absolute moron letting his dogs loose on the road. So he braked hard and all this. And I shout out the window, knob, you see. To which Claire then says, whispers to me, the children on speakerphone, you see. I.e., her mother was on speakerphone as well. So then you start thinking to yourself, I've just shouted knob because I've spotted one, haven't I, Claire? And Claire starts saying, yes, on a door. It's a doorknob, you see, trying to make light of it. Anyway, there was a bit of silence. And her mother says, what are you two on about? So Claire said, children are listening, mum. And she went, no, I'm on my own here. So we were saying all these things. And we didn't need to. Oh dear. Yes, that was quite funny. And we did a food festival this last weekend. Oof, that was a bit
This was the one that you were hoping I could do and I couldn't, unfortunately.
It was heaving on Saturday. It was too busy.
Was it?
Too busy. They hadn't sorted it out. Anyway, that's another story. But on the Friday when we were setting up, the organiser, and I've not met the organiser before, it was a new organiser, came over with a fire extinguisher, because you do, don't you? Fire extinguisher for the marquee. Mm. And she said these very words, Howard. And I want to see if you know what I did when she said it. Right, so this is a test to see if you and I, you know me very well. So she comes over with this fire extinguisher and she puts it down and she says to me, honest Injun, she said, you will tell me if you use it, won't you? So what do you think I did?
You wouldn't have done a rude sign or anything like that. No,
because I laughed like you did.
Yeah, yeah.
I just laughed, thinking she was taking the mick.
And she was being serious. Yeah.
Yeah. So then, to which I then have to carry on then, don't I? Oh, I said yes. I said, so when we have, I don't know, 6 or 7 uniformed men and a big red fire truck, I'll then say, oh, by the way, use the fire extinguisher. I believe it. Yeah. So what have you been doing? Because you had something, didn't you?
Well, I went to do a hen party up in York. Mm. Yeah. They'd been teasing the woman whose hen party it was. She wasn't in at the time when I arrived because I was seen as a big surprise, you see. And so they kept phoning her and saying, do you want low-fat whipped cream? she's thinking it's a stripper or something like that. And apparently she was so, so nervous. So what a huge relief it was when she saw it was me and I kept my clothes on.
Oh, I've got the operation date. It's Monday.
Have you?
Yeah, it's Monday. So,
this coming Monday? Mm. Well, that's not too long,
no,
then, is it?
No. Yeah, I've got to go and have a test, and then I've got to isolate for 3 days.
Mm. Oh, gosh.
I know. So this time next week, it'll all be done.
That's good. So have you got to recuperate for a few days?
Well, operation's on Monday, and we've got 2 events, one on Thursday and one on Saturday. So.
Oh, no.
I know.
You've not got...
No.
Yeah, so that's bad timing, isn't
we'll
it?
We'll see.
Yeah.
Have you got a June story for us?
Yes, I've got a June story. So, yeah,
Cheer us all up.
So, it's my sister's birthday next week. And so I said to my mum, I'll order you a card online for Debbie and get it sent straight to you. That's great. So I told her I'd got this card. It's on the way to you. Great. I said, while I'm at it, do you want me to order one for Rob? So that's Debbie's husband, because it's his birthday the following week. And she said, oh, yeah, that'd be good if you can get one for Rob. I said, and while I'm at it, I could get them a new home card as well. So she said, oh, yeah. She says, but I won't send it until they've moved. I thought, yeah, that's what you do with a new home card.
We love June, as do you, judging by the lovely comments you leave for us on our Facebook and Instagram pages. Thank you as always. A couple of things that cropped up. Kate Smith, with her collection of recipes, was indeed an American contralto, referred to as the First Lady of Radio. She had a radio, television and recording career which spanned 5 decades and became known as a songbird of the South because of her huge popularity during World War II. Baking was a hobby. A windmill in Old Amsterdam. Love it. It was a 1965 novelty song by Ronnie Hilton, and the songwriters Ted Dix and Miles Rudge were granted an Ivor Novello Award the following year. I saw a mouse... Where? There on the stair. There on the stair, right there. Fabulous. I do apologise, because that'll probably be an earworm for you for the rest of the day. As we said, we love hearing from you. Our email podcast at theshackbaggerly.co.uk. And if you feel an urge to leave us a review, please don't fight it. So that's it for another week. Thank you for listening, and see you next time. Oh, hang on, it's Howard. Hi, lovely. Yeah. Do I want a training rack? No, and not a cereal bowl either. But thank you anyway.